pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack.
Reveals hackers affiliated with China's People's Liberation Army have infiltrated critical services here in the U.S.
Alexandra Hoff joins us now from our nation's capital. Alex, this is not good.
No, it's not. I mean, this infiltration appears to be part of a broader effort to insert chaos into our logistical systems. The information collected could then be weaponized if the U.S. and China were to become engaged directly in the Pacific. According to reporting from the Washington Post, citing multiple U.S. and industry security officials, China's cyber army is invading critical U.S. services, like an attempt to break into the system behind Texas's independent power grid. Other victims include a water utility in Hawaii, a West Coast port, and at least one oil and gas pipeline, according to that report you're seeing there. Brendan Wells, executive director of the Department of Homeland Security Cybersecurity Agency, told the Washington Post this, quote, "It is very clear that Chinese attempts to compromise critical infrastructure are in part to pre-position themselves to be able to disrupt or destroy that critical infrastructure in the event of a conflict, to either prevent the United States from being able to project power into Asia or to cause societal chaos inside the United States to affect our decision-making around a crisis." The report notes that over the past year, hackers affiliated with the People's Liberation Army in China have accessed the computer systems of about 24 critical entities.
Welcome back to an unfolding story in real time. China's been getting real fucking ballsy, from attacking Australian naval officers doing a practice, all the way up to Taiwan Strait. China's been making big fucking moves. And here we go with a story that is currently, as of the time recording, still unfolding and still happening in the U.S. in real time. America under attack. China's cyber army hackers infiltrate key U.S. infrastructure. Article by Jamie White. Now, this article started and originally came out on December 11th, and let's continue on. Hackers affiliated with China's People's Liberation Army have launched a cyber attack on the U.S. power and water utilities, communications, and transportation systems. The Chinese military has infiltrated critical U.S. infrastructure in an effort to sow chaos on America's systems. Hackers affiliated with China's People's Liberation Army, PLA, have targeted the U.S. power and water utilities, communication, and transportation systems, according to the government and security officials. We have a tweet here from Benny. America under attack. China hackers infiltrate key U.S. services power grid. Let's watch this clip.
Post reveals hackers affiliated with China's People's Liberation Army have infiltrated critical services here in the U.S.
Alexandra Hoff joins us now from our nation's capital. Alex, this is not good.
No, it's not. I mean, this infiltration appears to be part of a broader effort to insert chaos into our logistical systems. The information collected could then be weaponized if the U.S. and China were to become engaged directly in the Pacific. According to reporting from the Washington Post, citing multiple U.S. and industry security officials, China's cyber army is invading critical U.S. services, like an attempt to break into the system behind Texas's independent power grid. Other victims include a water utility in Hawaii, a West Coast port, and at least one oil and gas pipeline, according to that report you're seeing there. Brendan Wells, executive director of the Department of Homeland Security Cybersecurity Agency, told the Washington Post this, quote, "It is very clear that Chinese attempts to compromise critical infrastructure are in part to pre-position themselves to be able to disrupt or destroy that critical infrastructure in the event of a conflict, to either prevent the United States from being able to project power into Asia or to cause societal chaos inside the United States to affect our decision-making around a crisis." The report notes that over the past year, hackers affiliated with the People's Liberation Army in China have accessed the computer systems of about 24 critical entities.
All right, moving on. That campaign is meant to disrupt logistical and economic systems in the event of a U.S.-China conflict in the Pacific over Taiwan's independence. Pull the microphone a little bit closer here. From the WAPO, urgent. Keep Alex Jones in the fight against NWO. Please pray and contribute. That's okay, moving on. Among the victims are a water utility, or water utility in Hawaii, a major West Coast part, and at least one oil and gas pipeline people. People familiar with the incident told the WAPO. The hackers also attempted to break into the operator of Texas's power grid, which operates independently from electrical systems in the rest of the country. Several entities outside the United States, including electric utilities, also have been victimized by the hackers, said the people who spoke on the condition of anonymity. Because of the matter's sensitivity, none of the intrusions affected industrial control systems that operate pumps, pistons, or any critical infrastructure or critical function, or cause a disruption, U.S. officials said. But they said the attention to Hawaii, which is home to the Pacific Fleet and to at least one port as well as logistical center, suggests the Chinese military wants the ability to complicate the U.S. efforts to ship troops and equipment to the region if a conflict breaks out over Taiwan. You would think the U.S. would have learned not to station much in the ports of Hawaii, given history. Yeah. It wasn't exactly a secure location before now, was it? From Tony Segura, at Tony Segura on X. Breaking. This is an absolute massive Chinese cyber attack on the United States, and it is growing rapidly. Most experts are saying that they have never seen any attack of this magnitude. So what's next? If you read my post, you already know. Let's watch this video real quick. Seems to be a map of the hacking in real time. Seems to be no audio. But there you go. I'm sure someone in the comments is more adept at explaining exactly what this is. Perhaps. Alright. The hacking effort sheds light on China's cyber army called Volt Typhoon that was first discovered by the U.S. government earlier this year, according to the Microsoft Threat Intelligence Report published in May. The group was, quote, pursuing development of capabilities that could disrupt critical communications infrastructure between the United States and Asia in Asia regions during future crisis. The state-sponsored Volt Typhoon group used stealthy programming techniques to target critical communication infrastructure, which affects nearly every major sector in America after Joe Biden took office. Volt Typhoon has been active since mid-2021 and has targeted critical infrastructure organizations in Guam and elsewhere in the United States. In this campaign, the affected organizations span the communications, manufacturing, utility, transportation, and construction, maritime, government, information technology, and educational sectors. Wow, that is a massive fucking slew of reach to get involved with. All right. Observed behavior suggests that the threat actor intends to perform espionage and maintain access without being detected for as long as possible. Senator Dan Sullivan, a Republican from Alaska, last week warned China's military has the capabilities to carry out Pearl Harbor-style surprise attacks on the U.S. They absolutely do. That's kind of why I said what I said earlier. Quote, I think we need to be very vigilant, especially now. Xi Jinping, Pooh Bear, has stated that he wants to be ready to invade Taiwan by 2027, he said. Quote, so vigilance now is critical.
All right, Dan Sullivan is joining us right now. Senator, what do you make of what he is laying out there, the possibility that the Chinese could do the modern-day version of a surprise attack, but this time with a much...
much more able and massive army, navy, you name it, to make it happen. It sounds ponderous when you hear it, but the way he went through the battle systems they've set up and how they could isolate us in that region, if they wanted to take over Taiwan and beyond, is a little scary.
You know, this is not long of a video. I'll actually just go over here, put it in this, and hit play.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
The day after the Pearl Harbor attacks 82 years ago that changed the world as we know it and got a reluctant United States, anything but that, into World War II. That was then. The surprise attack is the stuff that has befuddled historians and so many experts since. We have seen other such attacks. Obviously, 9/11 comes to mind. But could any country pulled off what Japan tried to pull off back then? I got the chance to catch up with historian and security expert Harry Kazianis, who has a great column in today's New York Post where he talks about how China has been patiently waiting for the moment to do something that Japan did, but with a lot more preparation. Because if you think about it, Harry says, the Japanese really had months to prepare for this attack on Pearl Harbor, whereas the Chinese have been doing it for the better part of decades. Take a look. We might be thousands of miles away, but we wouldn't be gone militarily, and it would be a back and forth, the likes of which could be ruinous, something that was not the case at the time the Japanese risked going after us to preclude our involvement in the war. What do you think?
It would be the epic struggle of our time. I think China right now is an even greater threat than the Soviet Union. When you look, Neil, at just the military capabilities the Chinese have developed over the last two decades, they have stealth fighters, mainly because they stole F-35 and F-22 technology. They have aircraft carriers, powerful aircraft carriers, now almost four. Reason why? They stole technology from a lot of military contractors from the United States. They're developing advanced submarines. They're basically stealing our blueprint of military superpower dominance, and they're trying to be able to use it against us if they could in the war.
All right, Dan Sullivan is joining us right now. Senator, what do you make of what he is laying out there, the possibility that the Chinese could do the modern-day version of a surprise attack, but this time with a much more able and massive army, navy, you name it, to make it happen? It sounds ponderous when you hear it, but the way he went through the battle systems they've set up and how they could isolate us in that region if they wanted to take over Taiwan and beyond is a little scary.
Yeah, Neil, there's no doubt it's scary. And as a country, you know, we always have to be very vigilant for those kind of sneak attacks. I think his broader point, though, is exactly right on. In terms of the correlation of military forces, certainly in the Indo-PACOM region, it is now starting to dramatically favor China. China has the largest navy in the world, a huge air force. And what are we doing right now? The current Biden budget shrinks the army, shrinks the navy, and shrinks the Marine Corps. Next year's Biden budget will have us below 3% of GDP spending on defense. We've only been below 3% of GDP like four or five times, Neil, in the last 70 years. So we're going in the wrong direction. China is undertaking the largest peacetime military buildup in history, and we're cutting our forces. It's a huge challenge.
You know, they had done things in a technology sense, Senator, that we could never have envisioned. They have the ability right now to knock out a lot of our satellites. Some are suspicious, as is, you know, Harry Kazianis, about what they're doing on the moon. It's very secretive there. So we can, you know, get you paranoid here. Others have seized on what Harry's been saying and say, well, it's self-destruction. If they go after us and launch a surprise attack, they know we'll respond many times folding, and that it will be the same result that that Japan experienced. I'm not so sure that comparison is accurate, but what do you think?
Well, here's the bigger issue that's the good news. In terms of major strategic advantages over our adversaries, be it Russia or China, we still have great strategic advantages. What are they? We still have an incredibly professional lethal military. We have energy resources and natural resources that Xi Jinping dreams of. We have an incredible network of allies that are a huge source of American strength. We have a very dynamic economy. And we have this, Neil, a commitment to liberty and democracy. Now, that might sound quaint, but as you know, Xi Jinping and Putin and the Ayatollahs in Iran, they fear their own people. That is a huge area that we need to exploit over the years. If we strengthen these areas of comparative advantage, we can take them but we shouldn't be undermining them, which is what we're doing in a lot of areas, especially with regard to the military.
You know, there is a camp of people who worry about the Chinese, starting a war with us because the time and the moment is right. Now, a lot of people go back, Senators, and say, well, they're in a world of economic hurt right now. A lot of their factories are slowing down. Their real estate is a mess right now. It's crumbling. So we sort of take, comfort in that, saying, well, they're too messed up to do anything like that. Is that dangerous?
Oh, you look at history and you know this, Neil. When dictators are having problems at home, they often divert attention by creating overseas invasions, by invading their neighbors. So there's a long history of when things aren't going bad at home, that they take it out on their neighbors. So I think we need to be very vigilant, especially now. You know, Xi Jinping has stated he wants to be ready to invade Taiwan by 2027. And so vigilance now is critical. And by the way, the best way to have deterrence in the Taiwan Strait is to be strong, not weak. Weakness will encourage, certainly, more adventurism from the Chinese.
Yeah, and when you assume timing is not right, it was the Japanese ambassador to the United States that was meeting in Washington with his counterparts only days before the December 7th attack. So you don't take comfort in that either. Senator, very good seeing you again. Thank you very much.
Hi, everyone, I'm Brian Kilmeade. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to click to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page. This is the only way that I know for sure that you're not going to miss any great commentary.
Now, let's continue on. When dictators are having problems at home, they often divert attention by creating overseas invasions, by invading their neighbors, he added. This comes just weeks after Democrat California Governor Gavin Newsom, along with key members of America's tech and government elite, rolled out the welcome mat for Chinese dictator Xi Jinping during his visit to San Francisco. Right here, I got a little video.
Xi Jinping, one of the biggest mass murderers in history, his predecessor, Mao Zedong, killed over 80 million of his people, conservatively. And so many of our leaders admire communist China. And look at the images of U.S. soldiers. You see that right there? Holding a communist Chinese flag. That violates federal law. There are federal laws that no U.S. soldier or commissioned officer at an official ceremony will hold a foreign flag. That's what the emissaries from the other group do. But nope, it's all about flaunting it in your face. Back that back up. Now they're pulling down American flags all over the country and hoisting the Palestinian flag. Ukrainian flag, the UN flag, always the latest thing. Who ordered that young man to have that flag? That's a big deal. Symbolism is important.
Ready, two.
It's coming down. Woo! Xi Jinping, one of the biggest mass murderers in history, his predecessor, Mao Zedong, killed over 80 million of his people, conservatively. And so many of our leaders admire communist China. And look at the images of U.S. soldiers. You see that right there? Holding a communist Chinese flag. That violates federal law. There are federal laws that no U.S. soldier or commissioned officer at an official ceremony will hold a foreign flag. That's what the emissaries from the other group do. But nope, it's all about flaunting it in your face. Back that back up. Now they're pulling down American flags all over the country and hoisting the Palestinian flag, the Ukrainian flag, the UN flag, always the latest thing. Who ordered that young man to have that flag? That's a big deal. Symbolism is important. Here's some video shot clandestinely at the big corporate meeting with all the big tech heads and BlackRock and State Street, Apple. There they are giving Xi Jinping a standing ovation. Here it is. Man, this is crazy.
seconds. Are you enjoying your fentanyl? Your president is retarded. And we own your children. Ah. Do not visit Infowars.com.
Wow. Unbelievably disgusting. Xi Jinping scenes of Red Dawn 2023 in San Francisco as Biden and Xi enter 4 hours of talks. China's Xi draws standing ovation from U.S. business leaders and some doubts. Wall Street Journal. After Biden-Xi meeting, Chinese media strikes a positive tone. Yes, there they are, walking his puppet. Biden meets Xi Jinping in San Francisco. U.S. and Chinese leaders shake hands in a luxury estate for crunch talks of Taiwan, fentanyl, and climate change, try to repair spiraling tensions. And what was really done as he drove through the parade grounds of San Francisco, flying messages of communism and the communist Chinese flag, the banner which has flown over more murders and death than any other flag in world history, easily by a number of two. On the agenda is U.S. will cut more carbon and China will do nothing. They always pledge to do nothing. Of course, carbon's good. They're building 3 coal power plants a month. I'm sorry, a week, excuse me. And we're shutting down multiple ones a week. Literally cutting the U.S. power. What do you mean they cut the power? Game over, man, game over. But that's where we are. U.S. lawmakers question Apple over John Stewart's China content. That's right. They admit they took him off his show because he criticized Xi Jinping. First, it's Alex Jones. Tim Cook led the deplatforming of yours truly 5 years ago. And now it's John Stewart. Analysts, Xi signals shift in tone for China on U.S. But can it last? So here's what happened. Trump stood up to it, made us the number one energy exporter in just a couple years, advertised America was open for business, trillions flooded back in, and now, as soon as they remove Trump through fraud and through the China virus, as they call it, like a trap door, business is closed again, and you see the spiraling collapse in industry, in manufacturing, in energy, in Target and Walmart, all of them, and they're the top of the food chain. They've got 5 to 10% drops this year in sales because we're in a depression. What's that? 3/4 of recession uninterrupted? Definitely in a depression. But now for the big boys, they're consolidating power. They're consolidating control right now. Of course, Biden famously called Xi Jinping a dictator. And got asked about it again yesterday and said, well, hey, what's the big deal? That's what he is. It's their system of government. Like Trudeau said, it's a basic dictatorship. Let's play that clip of O. Biden talking about that. But first, China decries Biden's off-script dictator Xi comment as extremely wrong, even though he is a dictator for life. Oh, the Politburo, a group of a couple hundred party dictators, a plutocracy and oligarchy, whatever you want to call it, you have a ruling body that dictatorial. It's not one dictator. They then made him the dictator. So in their twisted logic, that means he's not a classic dictator. What the hell does that mean? A dictator can be elected, as Hillary reminded us. Hitler was. But when they start banning their opposition and censoring and controlling and arresting the truckers for protesting lockdowns, and then you admire dictators, you say, well, I admire dictatorship. What do you admire most in the world, Trudeau? I admire basic dictatorship of Xi Jinping. Here's a clip of Biden.
After today, would you still refer to President Xi as a dictator? Is it a term that you used earlier this year?
Well, look, he is. I mean, he's a dictator in the sense that he is a guy who runs a country that is
so he is, enough of them, he is a dictator, but we're not supposed to say it. Like two men can have a baby, but we're not supposed to say it.
right.
So you want somebody to stand up against the club?
Let's make sure. Ordering that...
and Lauder's breath.
Is it just an ad now?
Fast read.
All right. It's continuing on. Actually, no, we're not. That is the end of this article. We're going to look at a couple comments real quick and wrap it up. From the Gov6. Did I tell y'all mofos I'm a missile commander? Yeah, also the number one mofo in my hood that knows the code to countermeasures. You're talking to, like, a mofo here. What's going on? Dark White checking in. That's the deal. Get the fuck out my way. All right. Where is the last starfighter? We got you, buddy. I'll fire Berlin Masquerade. When you hear the price we paid to get me here, you're gonna love this shit. The Gov6, it's gonna be a big one. Send everything and bring all your ships. Yo, I'm from Georgia. We got y'all's victory parties lined up. All you gotta do is listen to Dark. And all my people come home, like Tom Cruise says. I never seen a Georgia boy get hurt. It happens sometimes, rarely, but not on my watch. Okay, that was an absolute schizophrenic level of comments right there. But that being said, we're going to wrap this episode up here, and I shall talk to y'all later.
Bye.